Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
That I did not have when I checked email before coming to court today. So I'll hear you quickly on these. I've had a chance to read them. So, Mr. Brennan, I'll hear you.
All right.
Let's today focus on the Bowden ones. We can focus on the other one later.
My motion memorandum on Bowden just iterates my objections continuously at sidebar that not all evidence is admissible, characterization of evidence is not admissible, and the defense should have the ability and intention to follow up with substantive proof if they're going to ask a question. It's not limitless. Bowden is wide parameters to ask the investigator about their state of mind, about the scope of the investigation, but it has boundaries of reasonableness. And my earlier objections about offering information that go in beyond Bowden, delve into third party, inadmissible evidence, those objections are what compelled me to draft this motion. And I can continue and will continue to object during the case, but once the questions are asked, if they're improper, the jury hears them, it inflames the jury. And without a basis and an intention to follow it up with substantive proof, the question should not be asked.
So the one point I want you to focus on, Mr. Brennan, is the specific evidence regarding materials that Sergeant Buchanan has not been able to look at.
You want me to...
Is that something we can do here in open court or based on the protective order? Is that something that should be done at sidebar?
Sidebar.
All right. Why don't you come up, Mr. Jackson? Let's bring in the jury. Will that take a couple of minutes, Paul? Okay. Thank you.
All rise, please.
You are unmuted.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons have any business before the Honorable Beverly Cannoni, Justice of the Norfolk Superior Court, before the County of Norfolk. Draw near, give your attendance, and you shall be heard. God save the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. This court is now open. You may be seated.
All right. Good morning again, counsel. Good morning, Ms. Reed.
Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
We appreciate your patience this morning. We're trying really hard to cut back on the sidebar conferences, so we spent some time this morning hopefully paving the way for that to be able to happen. So we do appreciate your patience. I do have to ask you those questions. Were you all able to follow the instructions and refrain from discussing this case with anyone since we left here on Friday? Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Were you also able to follow the instruction and refrain from doing any independent research and investigation into this case?
Yes.
Everyone said yes and nodded affirmatively. Did anyone happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case since we left here for the week? Everyone said no and shook their heads. Thank you. Could we have Sergeant Buchanan again, please? And Mr. Jackson, you can go to the podium.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That's okay. Sergeant, I'll remind you, you're on the list. Thank you.
Good morning.
All right, Mr. Jackson, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Sergeant.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask you, just to start off with, at some point during the course of your investigation, did you become aware that a snowplow driver had reported having seen a Ford Edge being moved into a location in front of 34 Fairview sometime in the early morning hours of January 29th, 2022?
We learned about a plow truck driver. I don't believe his recollection was as you described, though.
Do you remember him mentioning a Ford Edge?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember him saying that the Ford Edge had been moved? He had passed by. It wasn't there. At some point, he passed by again, and it was there, impeding his plow route.
Yes.
Okay. What is your best memory about when he said he believed the Ford Edge? I guess a better way to put it is, when did he say he first saw the Ford Edge in place in front of 34 Fairview?
I don't remember exactly. I know it was during the middle of the night. Not adopting your narrative was the fact that he saw it being moved there.
Understood. I figured that. I clocked that as soon as I said it. He didn't see it moved. He saw it. He saw 34 Fairview without it there. Then about an hour later, it was there.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Would about 3:30 in the morning sound right to you in terms of what he reported, in terms of the time that he saw it there?
It sounds right, but I'm not sure of the exact time. My report would reflect the accurate time.
Fair enough. Let me see if I can grab that report real quick. Let me ask this. Well, it's a very lengthy report. Instead of making you sit there and wait, let me just ask this. Do you remember him saying that he had first plowed the area free of the Ford Edge? In other words, first passed in front of 34 Fairview around 2:30 in the morning? Does that sound right?
I believe his dispatch time for the plowing of the roads that evening was 2:30, but I would have to look at my report.
That's fine. And then it was sometime subsequent there too that he saw the Ford Edge in place, maybe an hour later?
Sounds about right, again.
Okay. Did you take any investigative steps when you learned about this snowplow driver to determine who, if anyone, might have owned a Ford Edge associated with 34 Fairview?
I did not know.
Did your investigation ever reveal that the Albert family actually had a Ford Edge at the time?
Yes.
I want to shift gears for a second to One Meadows, if I could, and ring video evidence associated with One Meadows.
You testified that on direct examination that there was no video from Ring at or around the time 12:36 a.m. When Ms. Reed's SUV returned back to One Meadows. Do you remember that testimony?
Yes.
You did receive a search warrant returned from the Ring Corporation in furtherance of a search warrant executed by Trooper Proctor, correct? Former Trooper Proctor.
Evidence was returned by Ring, yes.
And in addition to the actual video recordings, there was also an activity log that was returned associated with that time and that location from the Ring Corporation, correct?
There was a key log identifying each video that was provided by the time and date when the video was recorded. It's not an activity log per se for the account. It's strictly a key describing the video, telling you what time the video was recorded.
During the entirety of your investigation, was there any evidence uncovered at all that Ms. Reed had accessed the account information associated with that Ring account?
No evidence could be provided by Ring documenting that activity.
But there is evidence that someone had accessed the account through John O'Keefe's cell phone, correct?
I am not aware of that.
Are you aware that after John O'Keefe's cell phone was recovered by Massachusetts State Police, someone at Massachusetts State Police actually opened the Ring app on his cell phone?
Yes.
Who is the person who opened and accessed the Ring app on John O'Keefe's cell phone?
I'm not 100% sure.
May I have just a moment, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm going to refresh your recollection to take a look at a report, perhaps.
Yes.
May I approach?
Yes.
If you could take a look at that 3-page report and tell me if that refreshes your recollection. May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sergeant, having looked at this report, does that refresh your recollection as to who may have accessed that Ring app?
Yes, that report is authored by Michael Proctor, and it says that investigators accessed the Ring application.
Thank you. I want to show you one other document, if I could. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've just handed you what purports to be the search warrant return for the ring, from the ring company, correct?
I gotta take a look through all of it.
Of course. Take your time. Thank you, Sergeant. Have you had an opportunity to review that document?
I have.
Does it indicate that in addition to several other files, there is a login session report that was produced by the Ring Corporation as well? It's highlighted on that page.
Number four is highlighted with one Excel file containing login session information.
Thank you. May I approach?
Yes.
Thank you. And again, just as make sure I'm very clear about this. Nothing from the Ring Corporation suggested or intimated that Ms. Reed actually accessed any of that Ring account information, correct?
The information provided did not indicate that, no.
Thank you. I want to ask you a couple of questions about your testimony on direct examination related to your trip to the hospital and your observation specific to Mr. O'Keefe's right arm. You indicated that you saw bruising on his right arm in addition to the abrasions, the parallel abrasions that you described, correct?
I believe bruising is very similar to abrasion.
Okay, that's my question. Can we, Your Honor, with the court's permission, can we show Exhibit 1? It's already been introduced. Is this a fair and accurate depiction of what you saw in terms of the condition of Mr. O'Keefe's arm while at the hospital, if not exactly like this?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What did you mean when you said you saw bruising on his arm? What were you talking about?
I actually indicated bruising on his right hand, the back of his right hand.
Okay, that fair enough. From his wrist, when I say arm, can we agree at least for this purpose, of for the purposes of this discussion, that I mean from the wrist up to the shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see any bruising from the wrist to his shoulder?
I saw exactly what's depicted there with the abrasions and lacerations.
Okay. You know what lividity is, correct?
I do.
Okay. Describe for the jurors what lividity is.
Lividity is the pooling of blood inside the body as a deceased individual falls or is positioned naturally with gravity. Blood begins to settle in the lowest portions of the body. If you're laying face down, it'd be your face. It also contours to the imprint or the force that's exerted on the body from below. If someone's deceased on a TV remote control, you can see the remote control, the buttons underneath from the pressure.
So it's a bluish, purplish discoloration of the skin, not from an impact, but from the pooling of blood after the heart stops, correct?
That's correct.
Do you see an area at the upper arm that looks, the skin looks discolored in addition to the abrasions that we see?
I'm sorry, I was looking at that one.
Sure, I'm sorry, yes. Right up toward the upper biceps, triceps area?
I see that area, yes.
Okay, is that consistent with lividity rather than bruising?
I would not agree with that, no.
You believe that that's a bruise?
I believe that that's a laceration.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the discoloration of the skin, the reddish purplish hue of the skin, separate and apart from the abrasion, from the abrasions or lacerations to the skin. The discoloration. Do you see that discoloration or no?
I do not know.
You do not?
I do not know.
Okay, we can take that down. As you sit here today, you're not suggesting that you saw bruising from the wrist to the shoulder on John O'Keefe's arm?
Nothing that stood out to me. Okay. I observed lacerations and abrasions.
All right, thank you. I want to shift gears one more time and ask you about your trip to Dighton and the seizure of the SUV. You testified that you seized the SUV somewhere, I think your testimony on direct examination was somewhere around 4:15, 4:17, something like that, correct?
Yes, sir.
Does 4:12 sound like it could be a reasonable time that SUV was actually seized in Massachusetts State Police custody?
It could be reasonable. I'd have to refer to the video evidence that, you know, and then also the exact time that we advised the defendant that we are going to be seizing it. I guess it could be argued that that's when it was seized. Even we had the intent to seize it right there.
Right. Took the key fob, went outside, had a had a tow truck driver actually put it onto the back of a flatbed. Ultimately, it was transported, correct?
Correct.
And you became aware at some point that there was video evidence, you just referenced it, video evidence of that, I'm going to call it seizure process. Is that right?
Yes.
And that video evidence had a timestamp on it, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You're also aware, as the supervisor of Michael Proctor, that he swore under oath in multiple affidavits in support of search warrants that the SUV was seized at 5:30 p.m., correct?
Yes.
And you knew at the time, because you were actually there, and you knew when the vehicle was seized, that stating under oath in an affidavit that it was 5:30 p.m. and not 4:12 p.m., that was a false statement, correct?
There's a discrepancy in time there, yes.
Did you take any action, you yourself as a supervisor, did you take any action to correct that false or misleading state? Let me ask it a different way. Did you take any action to correct that time to the accurate time of 4:12 in any of the affidavits that you became aware of?
No, the actual time of the seizure through the video, we learned much later. So the approximate time of 5:30, although inaccurate, I did not take any action to correct it, no.
And you received that video as a production from the defense. You did not have access to that video, correct?
Yes.
And so at the time that Michael Proctor actually wrote and drafted these affidavits and swore to them under oath, he did not know that a video existed, correct?
Objection.
Sustained, you have to word it differently.
Sure. At the time that you, let me ask it a different way. At the time that you reviewed his declarations under oath, you did not know that a video existed.
No, he did not know.
If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
Sure.
I want to ask you about something that was brought up on direct examination, sustained findings as it pertains to you. You've already talked about the fact that, Sergeant, you're a supervisor and were a supervisor back in January of 2022 moving forward over Trooper Proctor, correct?
Yes.
Generally speaking, as a supervisor, your job is to properly and professionally supervise, show some authority over those in your charge. Is that right?
Yes.
Michael Proctor was, in fact, a trooper in your charge.
Yes.
And you would agree that your supervision has a direct impact on the character and quality of the subordinate investigators that you supervise?
Yes.
The whole point of having supervision and a chain of command is to establish a certain amount of, for lack of a better phrase, quality control of the subordinates.
Yes.
That would also include quality control over the subordinates' investigations.
Yes.
On August 17th, 2022, you were in a group text with the following individuals: Michael Proctor, Trooper Kalkowski, a lieutenant named Fanning, and a trooper named DiCicco, D-I-C-I-C-C-O, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm handing you a document. Can you tell me if you recognize that document?
I recognize parts of it.
You saw that document on direct examination. I think you were shown the same document, correct?
It was different parts of it, but same. It's inclusive of within this document.
Okay. Let's start with this. You indicated that you did not see Michael Proctor's name on that document, correct?
Correct. His name is not on here.
But you do recognize that as being reflective, accurately reflective of the text chain that you were on August 17th, 2022, that group chat?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to do this a little bit backward, but bear with me. You do see the name Kalkowski, correct?
I do.
You do see the name Fanning, correct?
I do.
You do see the name DiCicco, correct?
I do.
And you do see the name Buchanan, correct?
No, it's misspelled, but I know it. They're probably referencing me.
Okay. The only other texter, person texting on that chain, is a code, a lengthy, almost like a URL code, with no name, correct?
Yes, yes, you're right.
And
yes.
The only person that I didn't name, whose name I did not read off, it's obvious on that document, is Michael Proctor, correct?
Correct.
So deductive reasoning tells you that that is, the code is Michael Proctor. Is that right?
I would agree with you, yes.
Okay. In that text chain, it starts with Trooper DiCicco sending a photograph, correct?
No.
The... May I approach?
Yes.
Okay.
you turn to page 2683, please. Do you see a photograph there?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Fair enough. There were some texts between and among the group that preceded this photograph, correct?
Yes.
I want to start on this date, August 17, 2022, with this photograph. This photograph was sent by Trooper DeChico to the group, correct?
It possibly appears that way. I really can't. I mean,
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'm not sure this document has been marked. I'd like to have this marked and admitted.
Sure, we'll mark it for ID.
I'd actually like to have it marked and admitted. There's certain things I'd like to show.
What's the Commonwealth's position on that?
I have no objection to admission, but not in this form. It needs to be redacted.
Can you do it?
I can. What I intend to do, I can do with one photograph. If I may have a moment with counsel.
Okay.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd like to publish just one page of what's been marked for identification.
Not been marked.
I'm sorry, I would ask that it be marked, the entire document be marked for identification.
Yes.
You're gonna need this.
It's exhibit FF for ID.
Thank you.
And with the court's permission, I would ask to display or to publish page 2683 of that document.
So are you admitting into evidence page 263?
I would.
Do you have a separate one rather than tearing it out of what's been marked for identification?
I can take it out of this copy.
And can you redact it before it's admitted, please?
It's been redacted.
Okay.
Exhibit 116.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're talking about the same thing, Sergeant. I've just handed you a page that's been marked Exhibit 116. Do you recognize that as being a copy of one of the multiple pages in the document that you're holding that's been marked for identification as FF?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If we could publish that single page, please.
Okay.
Is that a photograph that was sent by Trooper DeChico to the group?
According to this document, yes.
Who is depicted in that photograph?
The big story, Mr. David Giannetti, criminal defense attorney.
Do you see that person in court?
Yes, I do.
Where is he seated and what is he wearing?
He's seated right there wearing a blue tie and a dark suit, white shirt.
Thank you. We can bring the lights up, Your Honor.
Okay.
In response to, and going back to the multi-page document FF, in response to Trooper DeChico's photograph that he sent to the group, you responded to that photograph, did you not?
Yes, this document indicates so, yes.
And you responded by laughing at it, correct?
That's what it says, yes.
Well, that's what it says, or that's what you did?
I don't remember.
Trooper Proctor then, former Trooper Proctor, Michael Proctor, then responded, correct?
That's what it says here, yes.
And he responded to the group, "Funny, I'm going through his retarded client's phone." Correct?
That's what it says, yes.
Michael Proctor then responded again. Is that right?
Yes.
He wrote, "No nudes so far." Correct?
That's what it says, yes.
Michael Proctor responded yet again. Is that right?
That's correct.
And in reference to Mr. Yannetti's photograph, he wrote, "I hate that man. I truly hate him." Correct?
That's what it says.
There's a trooper by the name of Moore, M-O-O-R-E, correct?
There is.
And he disliked Trooper Proctor's phrase, the statement, "No nudes so far," correct?
That's what it says.
Did that indicate to you that Moore was disappointed that Trooper Proctor, Michael Proctor, had not found naked pictures of Ms. Reed as yet?
I don't know what that indicated for Mr. Moore.
And then you responded to the phrase, "Funny, I'm going through his retarded client's phone," correct?
I acknowledged that text message being sent.
You acknowledged it by liking it, correct? With a thumbs up.
I acknowledged it by responding with a thumbs up emoji.
The fact is, Trooper Proctor told you, his supervisor, in this series of text messages, that he was going through Ms. Reed's phone. Is that right?
Correct.
And he also informed you, his supervisor, that he was going through her phone looking for nudes or naked pictures of her on her phone. Correct?
He did not tell me that he was going through naked pictures, for naked pictures through the phone.
He wrote, "No nudes so far," right?
That is what is written, yes.
What did you think he was looking for when he wrote that phrase?
I don't know what he was looking for.
What would be a reasonable interpretation of what Michael Proctor was looking for when he wrote, "No nudes so far"?
I don't know.
Motorcycles, handbags, pair of shoes, or naked pictures of Miss Karen Reed?
His mission was to go through the phone to look for digital evidence that's related to the crime. The fact that he wrote "no nude so far," I cannot comment on.
You cannot comment on, or you don't want to comment on?
I don't know what he was looking for in that specific time.
You certainly did nothing. You took no action to stop him from potentially looking for naked pictures of my client, correct?
That's correct.
In fact, last week you testified that in your view, Michael Proctor handled himself in this investigation with integrity. That's what you said, correct?
That's correct.
Do you stand by that testimony?
The investigation was handled with integrity and honor.
Do you stand by your testimony that Michael Proctor conducted himself during the course of this investigation with integrity?
Yes, I do.
He also called her retarded, correct?
That is what's written.
That's what's written? That's a very passive way of saying it, Sergeant. That's what's written, or that's what he wrote?
That's what he wrote.
And that's what you read?
I have no memory of reading that. I acknowledged him going through the phone on my Apple Watch. I have no memory of him writing retarded on a text message.
And you'll agree that that is one of the most vile and insensitive and incendiary terms one could use in modern society. Retarded, correct?
That is correct.
And in fact, through your response to that vile phrase, you encouraged it because you liked it with a thumbs up, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
Did you encourage that statement by Michael Proctor by liking it with a thumbs up?
I don't know if it encouraged him, but I cannot speak to that.
But that's what you did.
I acknowledged the text message being sent.
I want to be clear. These text messages were sent to you by your direct report, by your direct subordinate, correct?
That's correct.
And there was even someone on that text chain who was more senior than you, Lieutenant Fanning, right?
That's correct.
Michael Proctor was both your partner and the lead investigator on this case when he wrote that, correct?
He's a subordinate, and he was the case officer.
This thread, text thread, contains communications between a subordinate, the person you call the case officer. By the way, let me ask you another question. Did you ever, during the course of the investigation in which you were a part, the sustained findings, the internal affairs investigation. Did you ever review Colonel Noble's determinations about your subordinate, Michael Proctor?
Objection.
Did you review them?
No, Your Honor, I did not.
Okay. What would Colonel Noble call Michael Proctor's title in this case? You think he'd call him the case officer or the lead investigator? What is your experience with Massachusetts State Police in that regard?
Objection.
Sustained.
Notwithstanding the fact that a subordinate was on this text chain and a supervisor to you, was Lieutenant Fanning one of your supervisors?
Yes.
Notwithstanding the fact that a subordinate was on this text chain and one of your supervisors was on this text chain, you felt comfortable enough within this group of law enforcement to actually like when the subordinate refers to a suspect as retarded, correct?
I acknowledge the text message with a thumbs up emoji.
Do you believe that? Well, let me ask it another question, a predicate question. You were also comfortable enough with that text chain to receive information that your subordinate was looking for naked pictures on a suspect's phone, a woman, no less. Correct? You took no remedial action against Trooper Proctor for that, correct?
No, I did not, no.
Do you believe, as you sit here, that that was a misuse of power and authority by a Massachusetts State Police officer?
By myself or
no,
somebody else?
By Michael Proctor.
Misuse of what?
Misuse of authority and power. To go through a suspect's phone, to get her phone using the authority and the power vested in that officer by the community members. That's the power that you derive, correct? You work for the public. Would you agree?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you believe it was a misuse of his authority and power to use Massachusetts State Police authority to go through her phone and look for naked pictures of her?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you believe it was a misuse of authority or power to go through her phone and potentially look for nudes?
Objection.
Sustained.
Let me ask it differently. Did you think his text was appropriate?
I don't remember reading that text.
As you sit here now, do you think that text is appropriate?
No, it is not.
Do you think it's professional?
No, it is not.
Do you think it shows integrity?
that text message does not show integrity.
Do you think it shows honor? A word I expect you hold dear.
That text message does not show honor.
On October 15th, 2022, you completed a performance review of Michael Proctor, correct?
That's correct.
Specifically, you were asked to rank his, quote, oral and written communication skills, end quote, correct?
Correct.
That's part of an overall evaluation and performance review, is that right?
Yes, overall 90-day, quarterly, annual review.
You were specifically asked to rank whether he effectively would whether members, your subordinates, would effectively communicate with others, both within and outside the department, in oral and written form, correct?
That's correct.
And you rated him as exceptional, a number 4 rating out of 5, correct?
That's correct.
You actually went on to write and comment on Michael Proctor, and you wrote, quote, Trooper Michael Proctor displays professional demeanor, composure, dignity, and respect during the performance of his duties, and especially during his interactions with the public. This is seen during interviews with witnesses, suspects, as well as victims and their families, end quote. That was a statement you wrote about Michael Proctor, correct?
That is correct.
And this is after the text chain that we've just been talking about, where he calls Ms. Reed retarded and references looking for nude photographs of her, correct?
That is correct.
Was your statement in that evaluation true or false?
It was true.
You knew Michael Proctor's proclivities, obviously. He told them to you, correct?
The term proclivities,
what
does that mean?
You knew what he tended to do, what he wanted to do through his own comments, to look for nudes on a woman's phone, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You were aware, sir, that he had received evidence in a case, evidence that doesn't belong to him, belongs to the Massachusetts State Police, at least at that point, correct? The cell phone.
I was aware that he received the cell phone, yes.
And he used that power and the authority to go through that cell phone and look for nudes of my client, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
During the same course of your evaluation, you were also asked to evaluate his investigative ability, correct?
That's correct.
You rated him the highest standard in the Massachusetts State Police, outstanding, a 5, correct?
That's correct.
And you went on to write about Michael Proctor in the commentary below that rating to justify it, is that right?
That is accurate, yes.
You wrote, quote, Trooper Proctor has had a high profile caseload with a lot of eye and pressure from external sources during the first day of the investigation. He handled himself and all the case with utmost professionalism and competence. He is able to investigate his case thoroughly and with strict integrity, end quote. Correct?
Which quarterly review was this?
This is the same one, October 2022. Is that right? Those are your comments.
That sounds very accurate. I just was not sure which quarterly review that was for.
Professionalism?
Yes.
You believe that he acted in accordance with the highest standards of professionalism?
During his 90-day performance, yes.
And you didn't just say he displayed professionalism, you said utmost professionalism, correct?
Yes.
Competence? Do you believe he displayed competence?
Yes.
And not just in integrity, but he conducted himself, as you put it, with strict integrity. Is that right?
That is correct.
Did Did it show integrity in your view when your subordinate, Michael Proctor, called Ms. Reed retarded?
Objection.
I'll allow that one.
I believe that as a U.S. citizen, he has the right to comment. That's his First Amendment right. We uphold the Constitution, and it's unfortunate, unprofessional what he said in the private text message communication. He might have been voicing his frustrations. I cannot speak for Michael Proctor. It is unprofessional and unfortunate that he said that.
This was not, Sergeant Buchanan, a private text message conversation. This is with his boss and four or five other individuals, one of whom was your boss. Correct?
Correct.
This was a communication intended for and received by members of his unit in furtherance of his investigative authority, correct?
It was amongst members of the unit.
He was updating his boss about what he was doing in furtherance of the investigation, going through her phone, correct?
No, I would disagree with you on that. This was a group chain, text message chain that we were discussing private matters in our life, personal lives.
Private matters, including going through Ms. Reed's phone?
That is unfortunately shared that on that group text.
So in other words, to the public, he holds one face in private conversations with you and your colleagues within the unit, he shows a completely different face, private face, correct?
Objection.
Sustained.
You said that you believe that he has a constitutional right, a First Amendment right, to call Ms. Reed a suspect in his official investigation, in his official capacity as a Massachusetts state trooper, to call her retarded? That's your justification?
Objection.
Sustained.
Do you justify his statement, that vile statement?
I do not, no.
Do you think it's appropriate, given the fact that he has a First Amendment right to say whatever he wants?
No, I do not.
Do you think there actually might be members of the community, parents, siblings?
Objection.
Children.
Mr. Jackson, I'm going to exclude that question as argumentative. Move on.
You wrote in your report, if I may have a moment, Your Honor, wrote in your report about his conduct. He shows composure, dignity, and respect during the performance of his duties, and especially during his interactions with the public. He has a duty to the public, to the community that he serves, correct?
Yes, he does.
Just like you have a duty to the public and the community that you serve. Is that right?
That is correct.
Do you think community members might take offense to the use
Objection.
Of the word retarded?
Sustained. It's argumentative again, Mr. Jackson. Please don't do that.
He didn't just put it, that derogatory comment. He didn't just put it. Or he didn't just say it, correct? You talked about the First Amendment.
Objection.
Sustained.
I'm going to finish with my question, if I could.
All right, so just ask a question.
Sure.
Comments first, okay?
My question is, did he just say the word? Or did he go further than just saying it?
Objection.
Okay, we've gone through this. Move on, please.
The fact is, Sergeant, you put it in writing, and you liked it, correct?
I acknowledge the text message. I never saw the vile term.
Your Honor, may we approach just very briefly for a scheduling issue?
Okay. Jurors, feel free to stand up and stretch.
Probably should have given you a break before this, but I thought that was going to be quicker. Why don't we take the morning recess and we'll take 20 minutes.
Court, all rise for the jury.
And we'll free the record to work.
You are unmuted.
Put it back in session, you may be seated.
Okay. Yes.
So, Mr. Jackson, I've considered your argument, and this is simply the wrong witness, so I'm not permitting that line of testimony.
Even for the procedural request that I made a sidebar?
Even for that, so. All right, I think the jurors are in the way.
Please rise for the jury. Session, please be seated.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sergeant, I'd like to move to a different area. At some point during the course of your investigation, you and Michael Proctor interviewed Chris and Julie Albert, correct?
That's correct.
That was at the Albert residence, the Chris and Julie Albert residence, is that right?
Yes.
On or about February 10th, 2022?
Yes.
Does that sound right?
It does.
Okay. At any point before or during that interview, did Michael Proctor discuss with you a previous relationship that he and or his family had with Chris and Julie Albert or their family?
Yes, as we're walking up to the door, he stated that he knows them from he knows of them from around town and through a friendship.
Did that cause you any concern that the case officer that had been assigned to the case, dealing with obviously involving the Albert family, had a pre-existing familiarity or relationship with any members of the Albert family?
Yes, I followed up asking him if he hangs out with these people, how well he knows them. And he stated that he does not hang out with them. They're not his friends. He just happens to know them through people in town.
Did he tell you any specifics about communications he had had related to Chris and Julie Albert?
No, he did not.
Did he tell you any specifics about communications he had, Michael Proctor had, with his sister as it pertained to Chris and Julie Albert?
No.
Did he volunteer any information about the relationship that he might have or his family might have, including his wife, with Chris and or Julie Albert?
That information did not come up.
Did you ever later learn, now I'm taking it outside of your conversation with Michael Proctor, did you ever later learn about friendship or connection that he and his family, Michael Proctor's family, had with Chris and Julie Albert or the Albert family?
I've learned of accusations. I don't know the extent of how familiar they are.
What accusations have you learned?
Through trial or through court proceedings.
Right, what are they? Give me the nature of what you've learned.
Objection.
Sustained, we need a time frame.
Sure. When did you learn of these, of this information?
That was July of 2023, I believe.
And what were the circumstances in which you gained this knowledge?
There were accusations that Michael Proctor had familial friendship with these individuals, but the accusations were not factual.
Did you learn any specifics?
Of
the allegations? Did you use the word allegations? Or I think you used the word accusations?
Yes.
Were there any specifics?
There were.
You just said that there, what were some of the specifics?
Objection.
Sustained.
Well, by the way, did you say that you learned of these accusations during the last proceeding in this case?
Not the last proceeding.
Or a prior proceeding in this case?
It was through court proceedings.
Okay, how did you learn that specifically, Sergeant? Did you watch some of the proceedings? Were they televised? Did someone report it to you? What were the circumstances?
I was present in court.
This was what year? 2023. 2023.
Yes.
And did you take any action to investigate further the accusations that you said came up in 2023?
No. Well, yes, I did. Yes.
Okay. What did you do in that regard? What were the accusations and what did you do to investigate?
The information had been learned and that it was not factual, so.
Okay. You're using the word information. Help me out. Details. What'd you learn?
There was claims that...
I object.
Sustained.
May we approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Final question, Sergeant. I think I asked this, but let me make sure I'm clear. Your interview, along with Michael Proctor, with Chris and Julie Albert, was February 10th, 2022, correct?
I believe so.
Okay.
I'm not certain on that, but I believe it was.
Okay. Well, let me just clear that up real quick. Would it refresh your recollection to look at your report?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Does that refresh your recollection, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
What was the date?
February 10th.
Thank you. Okay. I want to move to back to Canton PD. Did you at some point recover some videos or a series of electronic data that purported to be videos from Canton PD in furtherance of your investigation?
Yes.
And to whom did you deliver these videos and whom were they requested by?
The initial request was by Michael Proctor. I delivered them to him.
Okay. Since that delivery, have you seen these videos?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Your Honor, I'm holding a flash drive that I'd like to have, with the court's permission, I'd like to have marked as next in order for introduction, but I'll play the first couple of seconds of it and just establish the foundation first with the court's permission.
Have you shown it or discussed this with Mr. Brennan?
I've just discussed it with Mr. Brennan at the break.
What's the Commonwealth's position? I have no idea what it is.
Sure, we can mark it. Yes. Mr. Brennan said he'd like to review them before they get entered into evidence. We can mark it for ID for purposes of this examination.
I don't expect I'll object. I just want to review.
Okay. So we'll mark it for identification, please, Madam Court Reporter.
Exhibit GG for identification.
Just to establish the foundation so we know what we're talking about, did you see on some of the electronic devices that you picked up in furtherance of this investigation, video of somebody outside, now we're the outside cameras or outside camera view at Canton PD at about 1:30 in the morning on January 29th, 2022?
The digital video, one of the collection items, it wasn't a device, it was, well, I guess it is a device, but the digital storage that was collected had video from external view of the PD. I do not remember specifically seeing an individual, but I did review it.
Being of the parking lot area, at least one of them, one of the clips being of the parking lot area outside Canton PD?
I don't remember seeing outside parking lot. I have to see it.
I understand. Do you remember another clip being of the outside Sallyport? There's a pedestrian door, not the big roll-up door, but the pedestrian door, someone going in and out of the pedestrian door?
I know the view you're talking about, but specifically what you're stating, I would have to see the video, tell you if I saw it or not.
And I'm asking a couple of these other questions. I think I may know what the answer is. There's another, do you remember another video being an internal corridor, looking down a hallway and seeing someone walk up or back?
Yes, yes, I do.
Okay, and then one on the outside, again, sort of passing from right to left, may not be attended to a parking lot, but at least an outdoor view of someone moving from frame right to frame left across the camera angle?
I don't remember that.
You do remember that all these videos, I just mentioned four, we've talked about four, these videos were from January 29th, 2022, around generally 1:30, 1:45, 2 o'clock in the morning?
I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact time and date. I just remember seeing the file and reviewing it.
Do you remember Mr. Proctor asking for video attendant to January 29th? At least can we narrow it to that date?
From Canton PD?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So these are all from January 29, 2022. You just don't remember the specifics of them. It's been too long since you've seen them.
I don't know when each video was collected and then reviewed.
Okay.
Exactly.
With the court's permission, well, may I have just a moment to confer with counsel?
Okay.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, I'd ask that what's been marked as GG, at least the first video, be published for the jurors.
All right, so there are four videos on this flash drive?
One video, four different camera angles as it's set from the one.
Are you ready to see this now? I thought you wanted to review it.
I'll agree, and if I have a problem, I'll let the court know. No problem.
All right, so for the first one, the first camera angle?
Correct.
Okay.
It's one video, but four different angles.
All right. We just have to keep a record. That's what
Understood.
I'm asking all these questions.
It's a little complicated. I get it.
All right, we can do that.
Thank you. And this is, Your Honor, just for the record, actually, let me do it this way. Sergeant, would you agree that we can call this the rear lot main side at Canton PD, just for identification purposes?
Sure, if you'd like. I don't know which side this is, so I can't argue with you about the location. So
okay.
I'll agree with you that we can call it that.
Great. It looks like a parking lot. There's cars.
Yes.
There.
Yes, sir.
Okay. For purposes of, so it doesn't get complicated, we'll call this rear lot main side. That doesn't mean anything unless you adopt it. So just for identification purposes.
Thank you.
If we could move to runtime 12632. Okay. With the court's permission, may I play it at this point?
Okay.
Thank you. Stop. Did you see a car pass in front?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What kind of car did that look like to you?
It looked like a two-door Jeep Wrangler with a plow on it.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play it. Okay, stop. Sergeant, did you, during the course of your investigation, learn whether or not anybody associated with your investigation had a two-door Jeep Wrangler with a plow on it?
Yes.
Who is that?
Mr. Brian Higgins.
Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead and play this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, stop. Sir, do you see a person who appears to have alighted from the car?
Yes.
From the Jeep? Sergeant, if you could turn your attention to the screen on the right, does that appear to be the location of the person that you're describing?
That's the individual that came out of the vehicle, yes.
Okay. I know it's super blurry. You may not be able to at this point. Do you know who that is?
I do not know.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play it. Okay, stop. All right, did you see the person walk off the screen?
Yes.
Did it appear that that person had something in his or her hands?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. May I have a moment, Your Honor?
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor. If we could play the second clip on this same GG. Before this is played, Sergeant, do you recognize what's depicted in this photograph?
I do not know.
Okay. Let's go ahead and play this. Stop. What do you see on the video at this point?
An individual crossing the frame with a couple of cars parked, one of which has a plow on it.
Does it look like an exterior video?
Yes.
Does that appear to be an exterior video if you don't know exactly where, an exterior video of Canton PD?
From the facilities, yes.
Okay. And describe the person that you see in the foreground at the bottom of the screen.
Appears to be wearing a black sweatshirt, a hooded sweatshirt.
Larger in stature, smaller in stature, can you tell?
I'd be speculating because there's no comparison, but possibly larger, I don't know.
Okay, let's go ahead and play it. And that's it for that. Your Honor, if we could play the next video. By the way, can we agree before we move off of this, just for identification purposes, can we agree to call this rear lot cruiser side? As opposed to rear lot main side, just to keep them separate?
Same as last time. I'm not aware familiar where that camera is, so I cannot argue with you nor adopt. But if for identification purposes only, we can agree on that.
Can you see from where you are, and I know the answer to this, can you see from where you are the timestamp on the bottom of this?
No.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, it's very, very small. Is it possible to ask the witness to adjourn from the witness stand just to get close enough to see if he can read the...
You can't increase the size of it?
Maybe we can. I'm not the tech guy. Mr. Wolk? Magic. Wow. I didn't even know he could do that. Okay. Can you read that?
Yes, it says rear lot cruiser side.
Okay, what about the time?
The timestamp reads 1:27:41.
Do you see a date?
Yes.
What is that date?
1:29:2022.
Thank you. This was my fault. Your Honor, if we could move back to rear lot main side, I'd like to do the same thing. I failed to ask for the time and date on that one. To walk, if you could, please. Is it possible to see from there the time and date?
Yes, the time is 1:27:32 a.m. and the date is 1:29:2022.
Thank you. Okay, if we can move to the third clip. If we can start, Mr. Wolk, by enhancing with the court's permission the time and date, let's just start with that. Okay. Do you see what the timestamp designates this camera angle to be?
Appears to be church side. And I can't read the third word there.
Exterior?
Oh, yes, exterior. Sally Port.
Okay, and if you could tell the jurors what you see in terms of the time and date.
The time is 1:27:43 a.m. and the date is 1:29:2022.
Thank you. Mr. Wolk, if you could play that with the court's permission.
Okay.
Stop. Do you see a person in that video?
I do.
Although it's somewhat blurry, can you describe that individual for us, please?
Individual wearing dark clothing, possibly. That's the best I could do, really.
Okay. Does it appear, given what you've seen in terms of the time of the main side, cruiser side, and now this exterior church side, does that appear to be the same person moving through on the outside of the of Canton PD?
It does, yes. Okay.
And what are we looking at here, by the way? What is this door he's about to walk into?
I'd be guessing. I was never present on that side of the Sally Port.
Understood. Okay.
I don't know.
Let's go ahead and play this. Okay, and for the final clip, if we could go down to the timestamp and date. A little bigger, Mr. Wolk, if you could. Can you see what that is designated as, that camera angle?
Yes, it says first floor corridor, and the time is 1:28:03 a.m. on the 29th of January, 2022.
Okay. Is this the corridor version or video that you did have some recollection of?
Yes, this is, yes.
Okay, if we can go ahead and play this. Stop. Do you recognize the person in this video?
It appears to be Mr. Brian Higgins.
Okay, and what is he wearing? Describe it for the jurors.
Black sweatshirt with some sort of logo on the front. It appears to be blue jeans and shoes with a white trim.
And is the hood up or down on the sweatshirt?
It's up.
Okay, let's go ahead and play this. May I have just a moment? Could you pause this, Mr. Wolk? Can you make a note of the time as it's paused right here?
Do you want me to say it again or
yes,
write
sir.
It down?
Yes, sir.
The time is 1:28:16 a.m.
Okay. And if we could just continue playing this video. It is playing. Stop. Now, if you could take a look at the time now. Okay, what's that time?
1:29:42 okay. a.m.
And if we could go ahead and go forward. Is it still playing, Mr. Wolk? Okay. If we could take a look at the time one more time.
Now it's, you want me to say it?
Yes, sir.
1:34:12 a.m.
And in the time, just so the record's clear, in the time between you saying 1:28:16 to 1:34:12, 6 minutes has not gone by, correct?
Just under six, I believe, yeah.
Well, 6 minutes for us in real time.
Oh, in real time, yeah, no.
It is not. So it appears that the camera jumped, or the time jumped.
The time difference from what was displayed is approximately 6 minutes, yes.
Okay, which is much longer than the time we've actually been looking at the video, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so it appears that it may be motion activated and it just jumped.
That's a possibility, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Let's go ahead and continue playing this. And stop. Do you see someone in the screen now?
Yes.
And one more time, I know this is laborious, one more time if we could clock the time. Can you see that?
No, it's really blurry for me.
There we go.
Yes, now I can see it 1:34:15, if I'm not mistaken, AM.
Okay, fair enough. And let's go ahead and play this all the way through. Okay. Who did that appear to be walking away from the camera in this shot?
I'm not certain. I would be suspecting or guessing if I gave you an answer, but I'm not certain who that is.
As best you can determine, does he have the same stature? I know you can't see his face. Same stature, same clothing, jeans, shoes with white stripe around it, dark hooded sweatshirt. Does he appear to be the same person as Brian Higgins?
It does appear that way, yes.
Okay. Is that it? Okay. There's one more clip that I'd ask you to look at on this same GG device. Okay. What do you see in this video?
It appears to be the church side Sally Port, and an individual came out of the door.
Okay, and can we highlight the time, please, or increase the size? What time do you see there?
1:34:40 a.m.
Okay, if we go ahead and play this through. Pause. Does it appear from this video that the person has anything in his hand?
I'm sorry, can you play that again? I wasn't looking at the hand,
Sure.
I really can't tell.
Okay. There should be another video of the rear lot cruiser side. Let's take a look at that. Pause. What do you see in that video?
It appears to be an individual wearing a black beanie hat, black dark colored sweatshirt with some design on it, and something illuminating by his face.
Can we enhance the time, please? What time is that?
It says 1:34:53 in the morning, a.m.
And if you could move the screen over to the individual. Well, does that appear to be the same person?
It could possibly be, yeah.
And does it appear as something in his hands, up to his face, the right side of his face or ear?
Yes.
What do you think that is?
It's consistent with a cellular device, possibly a phone or a tablet.
Okay. If we could move on, please. Play that through. I believe there's one more video. And Your Honor, this one is a little longer. This is about 10 minutes.
Okay.
With the court's permission, I'd like to play this through. Okay, stop. Do you see a person in the video walking from screen right to screen left?
Yes.
Did that person appear to have something in his right hand?
I can't tell. I can't see his right hand.
Okay. When he first walked into the screen, could you tell?
I couldn't. No, I'm sorry.
Mr. Wolt, could we back that up with the court's permission about 2 seconds? Okay. Stop. Did it appear as something in his hand?
It's a possibility, yes.
Okay. And just for, I'm going to ask you for 2 times when we start and when we stop. What's the time on this video at this point when he walks into frame?
1:35:08 in the morning, a.m.
Okay. And let's go ahead and play this through.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.